Thanks for listening to one of our messages at Crossroads Bible Church. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. in person and online. To find out more about our church or to connect to any of our ministries, visit our website at crossroadsbible.org. We hope you enjoy the message and pray it encourages you as you seek to follow Jesus.
Hey, I'm Jody Nisnik, and if this is your first time here, well, this is my first time doing this too, so we're together in this. But if you've been around CBC for a long time, this is a bit of a full circle moment for me. I attended CBC back in the day from about 1998 to 2008. And really, I feel like I grew up here spiritually. This is where the Lord called me to go to seminary. That was surprising. And this is also where the Lord called me to go and serve at another church for 12 years as a pastor, which was also surprising because this was our home. And so this feels a bit like a homecoming for me because we are back here at CBC, like feel like we've, you know, we're missionaries and now we're home. I don't know. But we're glad we are here. And I will say that there are some things that have not changed one bit. Like this room is exactly the same. And I know it kills Charlie every Sunday, but one of the things that has changed and I love is how we start every service here and every sermon. And that is with the recognition that the Spirit moves inward to conviction and not outward to critique. We live in such a critical world, it's easy to criticize. But what God wants us to do is look inside and see what he has for us this morning. So with that, I want to invite you all to pray with me before we get started. So let's do that. So first, just in the quietness of your heart, let's just ask the Spirit to help us be attentive to the truths that he has for us this morning and that he would guide us into a deeper relationship with him. And second, I would ask that you would just pray for me for a moment, that the Lord would help me get out of the way and that he would use my preparation to accomplish his will, that he'd guide my words to be formed more into what he wants me to say. Lord, we do ask that you would guide us this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in 2021, my life got a little turned upside down. As I had told you, I was serving as a pastor at another church for a little over 12 years. And it was in 2021 that the Lord started to make it clear to me that it was time for me to make a big change and to move away from that role. And quite honestly, I just wasn't ready. It was an unwelcomed change in my life. And there were really two reasons for that. And the first is that it was messing with my identity. I had trained to be a pastor, and I believed that that's what I was supposed to do. And so if I wasn't going to do that, what was I going to do? And I know my identity was in Christ, yes. But there are things that we get identified with that help us find our way in the world. And this had become one of those things that had identified me. And the second thing is, it was unexpected. I wasn't expecting this big shift in my life. I mean, if you had asked me a few months before all of this started to unfold, I would have told you, oh, I am doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing it exactly where I'm supposed to be doing it. And that was true. Until it wasn't. And isn't that the way with God? We walk up to these moments and all of a sudden, something changes. But God was present and persistent as he can be. And he let me know in no uncertain terms that this is in fact what I want you to do. And actually staying in that place would have been disobedient, and quite frankly, it would have been unhealthy. Now, I know that we have all been in those places in our lives, haven't we? Where we are moved into a place that's unexpected, or it's unwanted, or it's hard to see what the next steps are going to be and what's going to unfold in front of us. We've been in those places where we need to have God show up and show the way. I'm willing to bet that we are all in a place like that in our lives right now with something where we need God to show up and show the way, where the future feels uncertain. So today, we're going to talk about the Exodus. It's this grand story in Scripture where God leads his people out of slavery and to freedom. It's this story about God showing up and showing the way. Now, I'm guessing you've heard this story before, or at least you've seen the cartoon of it. You know a little bit of the Exodus story, even if you aren't very familiar with Scripture. If you were here last Sunday, you heard Charlie and I talking about Christian meditation and Scripture meditation, which is one of the things that the Lord has led me to do in this season of my life, is guide people into creating space for God through Scripture meditation. So what I wanted to do this morning, because this can be a familiar story, is to have us do a very brief Scripture meditation experience right now. Now, normally when we would do something like this, we would read the passage multiple times. We would create some space for God to guide us to where he wants us to go. We'd have some time of reflection, and then we would respond to what God is showing us. We're going to condense all of that into one reading of Scripture together. Part of the reason we're doing that is for time, and I am bound and determined to make this sermon shorter than your average Charlie sermon. You're welcome. Okay, so here's what I want to invite you to do. A couple of things. One is I want to invite you to use your imagination. Now, this may be new for you, but I want to assure you, first of all, God gave you your imagination, and it can be used in a sanctified and beautiful way. And the second thing is, I believe Scripture invites us to use our imagination. I mean, just think about it. We have all the details we need in Scripture, but we don't get all the details. I mean, it's not like they had word processors and Kinkos. I mean, they had to write things out in hand, and paper was a valuable resource. So things got a little condensed. So I think God wants us to enter in, especially into the narrative stories of Scripture, using our imagination. So that's my preface. Now, I want to invite you to close your eyes. I also want to invite you to maybe sit in a little more attentive posture, because I realize that you could all just fall asleep on me right now. And I don't want you to do that. And I want you just to hear these words. Now, go ahead and open your eyes, because I forgot to do this whole thing that is going to set this up for us. So you need some setup to this story, even if it's familiar to you. So let's set it up. Israel has been enslaved for about 400 years, and they have been crying out to God to rescue them. That is an important detail I want you to hold on to, crying out to God. God hears their cries. He determines he's going to set out to rescue them. Now, Pharaoh, who's like the king of Egypt, he's not very warm to this idea. Neither are any of the Egyptians, because they have built their economy on the backs of the Israelites' slave labor. They don't want to let that go. So God has to get a little heavy-handed with them, and he has to show them that he is God and that he is going to do exactly what he says he's going to do, and he wants his people to go free. So the 10 plagues happen. If you know anything about the 10 plagues, they are horrific. And at the end of this, the Egyptians are exasperated, exhausted, grieving. and they just say, just leave. You people, go. So, scripture tells us 600,000 Israelite men leave. Most historians, theologians believe that that probably means there was about 2 million people when you count women and children. No matter how you count it, it was a mass exodus. And you thought leaving Cowboys Stadium was complicated. Try corralling 2 million people on a journey. So this is where we are. Okay, now, with that setup, you can close your eyes because I'm going to read the scripture to you. And let's receive this word of the Lord, remembering that the people of God are in a place where they did not expect to be, and they do not know what is going to happen. God has led them to the front of the sea. So we're reading in Exodus 14, starting in verse 5. It says this: when the king of Egypt, and that is the Pharaoh, was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go and we've lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. As Pharaoh and his army approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert." So I want you just to imagine right now that you are in this moment. What does it feel like to you to see this army, people who had enslaved you, coming after you? And now I want to invite you just to ask the Lord to help you see what he wants you to notice in your own life right now. He might bring to mind a place where you're feeling stuck, maybe an unwelcome change that seems to be coming your way, or some uncertainty about the next steps, or maybe it just feels like your whole life feels like that right now. Just, you need God to show up and show the way. So just take a moment right now and ask the Lord to help you notice what he wants you to notice. Now, holding on to whatever the Lord has brought to mind, let's listen to the rest of the story. The Israelites have just turned to Moses and asked him why they have been brought to the desert to die. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." And then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Oh Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word and the truths held in your word. And as we continue to look at this passage and the situation that you have brought to mind, we ask that you would encourage our hearts deeply with the truth that you want us to know. Amen. Well, you can open your eyes and wake up your neighbor. All right, well, let's talk about the problem. Okay, so the first problem that the Israelites had is fear distorted reality. And this is what happens to us. Now, I'm not talking about the good kind of fear, the fear that keeps us from running out in front of cars and that kind of thing. I'm talking about the fear that wakes us up in the middle of the night, the fear that makes us think, oh, that worst case scenario, that's definitely going to happen. That's the fear that I'm talking about. And it distorts our reality. Exodus 14:10 tells us that the people were terrified when they see Pharaoh and his army approaching. Terrified. Now, this seems reasonable, doesn't it? They had been enslaved, likely tortured. They were held captive by these people. They know the power and the cruelty of their enemy, and here they come after them again. I think being terrified seems reasonable. But we need to take a closer look. So here's some things to notice in this passage. First, if we back up, Exodus 13:18 tells us that when the Israelites left, they were ready for battle. We don't know exactly what that means, but it means that they were not wholly unprepared. In some way, they were ready to fight. Exodus 14:7 tells us that Pharaoh's army was made up of 600 chariots. Now, it says that there were some others that went along for the journey, but Scripture gives us the number 600 for a reason. In Exodus 12, which was the setup to the story that I told you about, we learned that 600,000 Israelite men went, and they were ready for battle. So just for the sake of rounding, we've got 600 chariots and 600,000 Israelite men. Do I have any mathematicians in the room? That is 1 to 1,000 in their favor. The odds are wholly in their favor, and we have not even taken into account that God is on their side. There is no way they can be defeated. None. But see, this is what fear does to us. It tricks us into believing that things are not as they seem. When we become overcome with fear, we let our circumstances determine what we believe, instead of letting our belief give that needed perspective to our circumstances. You know, in my situation, when God started to churn in my life and invite me to do something that I wasn't really ready to do, fear was the first thing that took over. Fear started to tell me, oh, see, all that work you did, that was worthless. None of it mattered. There's nothing for you moving forward. This is what fear wanted to make me believe. The problem with this distorted reality that fear creates is it leads to a second problem. A distorted reality will lead us to bondage. Now, if you don't believe me, all we got to do is look at medical research to know that when we live in prolonged states of worry and fear and anxiety, it does nothing good for our health. It increases our cholesterol, our chances of heart attack and stroke. It decreases our immune system. It makes us sick, literally. This is its own form of bondage. When we live this way, worry will make us sick. And it's all a tactic of the enemy to either keep us immobilized because we're scared to do anything, or to lead us back toward things that will lead to bondage. And for me, what the enemy wanted me to do in all of this fear is just be stuck and not do anything. And this, I believe, is why many of us stay in places where we are not supposed to be. Because we are afraid of an unknown future. And that is reasonable. But it is not a reason to stay stuck. Because our God is bigger, and he is good, and he is leading us somewhere that is worth going. So let's talk about the solution. The first thing is we need to remember who our God is. Again, we cannot let those circumstances determine what we believe. We have to go back to our belief and let it determine what we believe about our circumstances. Moses says this in Exodus 14:13. He answers the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm. You'll see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see, you will never see again." Moses says to them, "Stand firm." And I think there's three things they should have stood firm on. And the first was the miracles they had witnessed. They had seen miracle after miracle after miracle of God. Stand firm on the miracles. They should have remembered the freedom that they had been given and where they were. And they should have stood firm because the physical manifest presence of God was with them. Exodus 13:21-22 says, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. It was always there. God was always there. They could see him." And I think we can do the same. We need to remember, has God ever let us down in the past? What are the miracles we have seen in our life? Where have we seen him be faithful? What is the freedom that he has given us? Yes, thank God we have been given freedom through Jesus Christ from sin and death, but we have also been given freedom to live a full and abundant life. That's what Jesus has done for us, and each of us have testimonies of where we have found freedom in our life when we have lived into the ways of God instead of the ways of the world. And we can look for the presence of God in our midst. We have the Spirit indwelling in us. We also have God moving in our midst. So we cultivate an attentiveness to him. I love how Charlie brought up this study last week about being in Scripture four times or more a week actually had a significant impact on how we live our lives. When we attune our lives more to God than not, we become attentive to him and his movement. We start to learn what his voice sounds like. We start to know how he's leading us. So we cultivate attentiveness. And once we've remembered who our God is, then we settle in to stillness, which is the second thing Moses encourages them to do. He says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Now, this word stillness isn't actually immobility or inactivity. It's actually more of a stillness in our soul. It could be translated as silence or peace. I love how Eugene Peterson in The Message says it. He says, "God will fight the battle for you, and you keep your mouth shut." They were just spreading lies to themselves and to the community around them. Oh, you brought us out here to die. We should have stayed as slaves. Really? No. Keep your mouth shut. Tell yourself the truth. Now, God knew that the Israelites were going to need to learn this practice of stillness because they had been slaves for 400 years. Their entire existence depended on what they could produce. Their entire lives depended on what they could produce. So one of the first things that God does, interestingly, is after he brings them out of this Exodus moment, is he establishes for them the practice of Sabbath. He tells them, 6 days you can work, but one day I want you to rest. One day I want you to let me take care of you. They needed to learn how to live in a new rhythm. They needed to learn that their existence was not dependent on production, that they were not created to work, that they were created to worship. And I think we have got to learn that same practice. We live in this 24/7, always on culture, right? And we get tricked into believing that we are what we produce. So when we practice Sabbath, it's actually an act of resistance to push back on the way of the world, to remind our soul that we're going to be okay if we rest, that God will take care of all the things that need to be taken care of. We've been in a small group here at Crossroads practicing Sabbath together, and it's been hard, to be honest. But God has been showing me and really our entire group that resting and delighting in him is how he created us to thrive. The fascinating thing is when we take that time to cease, the time that we're actually working and producing is more productive. This is the math of God. When we rest, he takes care of the rest. So we need to settle in to stillness. And as we settle into stillness, then we can be attentive to his movement, which is the third thing they needed to remember. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." So God tells the people to go. And where are they going to go? This is why we wait on God. Because he is infinitely more creative than we are. You know, in our rationale, we just see the options in front of us. Okay, let's see, I can die by an army, or I can drown in the sea. Either way, I'm gonna die. Thanks, God. I bet not one of those 2 million people came up with the solution that God did, where he made a way where there had never been a way before. You know, when we come up against these moments where things are shifting and changing, our human rationale and reasoning kicks in on high gear. And for me, my rationale was, well, okay, then I'm just gonna go find another job. I'm gonna go find a place where I can keep doing the same things that I had been doing before. God had a different plan. His plan was to slow me down, to deepen my relationship with him, to create some space in my life that I had previously not had, so that I could be present to some people that I would not have been able to be present for. And it has been the biggest gift. I didn't see it. I didn't know these situations were going to unfold in front of me, but God in his goodness, he knew. And he allowed me space and prepared me to be ready for what only he knew about. Now, the way forward, let's be honest, it's not always as obvious as a sea parting in front of us, right? Which is why we cultivate attentiveness to God. But it's one of the things that I love about Crossroads. It's that we focus in on these spiritual disciplines so that we can be attentive to God's movement. Scripture, prayer, showing up and being present with each other when possible. These spiritual disciplines, these spiritual practices train our soul so that we notice God, so that we know his voice, so that we see where he's leading and we can follow him. And so when God shows us the way, we walk forward in faith. You know, even the Israelites who had this very dramatic thing happen in front of them had to do a faith walk through the ocean. And guess what? When they started walking, the enemy followed them. It was not until they reached the other side and the water had crashed down over the enemy that they knew they were safe. Every step of the way, they had to have faith that God was going to care for them. You know, one of the other things that I love about this story is how Exodus 14, 16 says this: raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through on dry ground. God said to Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your arm to push back the water. And I will make a way where no way was before. This is exactly what Jesus does for us. He makes a way for us where there was no way before. A way for us to enter into relationship with him. You know, the reality is sometimes we don't get the answer that we're praying for. Sometimes the miracle doesn't happen. Sometimes there's not this amazing parting of the seas in front of us. Sometimes we don't get that miracle on this side of eternity. But God has made a way for relationship. And honestly, I think that is what he's really after, is our hearts. That's why the Israelites, when they got through this little incident, wandered in the desert for another 40 years, because he knew they were not ready to enter into the promised land. They were not ready to be in relationship with him. Their first reaction was, it would have been better to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert. God's deepest desire for us is that we would say to him, it'd be better to die in the desert than be anywhere without you, God. God is after our hearts. He's after relationship. It's just like Psalm 84:10 says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day with you, God. You know, whatever you're facing, whatever God brought to mind for you, I have no idea how God will solve that. But I know it starts with relationship. It starts with us remembering who our God is. I want to encourage you today to maybe even write some things down. How has God been faithful to you in the past? Has he ever let you down? What are some of the miracles you have seen in your life? Write them down so you can go back to them whenever you are doubting. And then settle in to stillness. Just stop, pause, breathe. Start where you are. Just take an hour off of worry. Put your phone away. Go on a walk. Practice trusting God just for a moment of stillness. And be attentive to his movement. I mean, maybe the Spirit brought something to mind this morning. What is that? Be attentive to that. And ask him in that moment of stillness to help you keep paying attention. Ask him to confirm it and affirm it. And keep your eyes open for his work. But then we have to walk forward in faith. That road through the sea did no good unless they took it. And that is what God invites us to do, is to take the next step forward. I'll tell you something you already know about our God. He does not show us how the story ends. He shows us the next step. And we have to take that next step in faith. We don't know exactly where we are headed, but we know that with God, we are in the right place and we are on the right path. I also want to invite us to take one more lesson from the Israelites, and that is to do things better than they did for each other. They grumbled and they complained, and it spread like wildfire through those 2 million people. If you've got kids, you know how this works. I don't like what we're having for dinner. Yeah, I don't like it either. Really? That was your favorite meal last week? Okay, people. We tell ourselves lies and they spread. We let the fear go out of us. But let's be a people who actually point each other back to Jesus, who help each other remember the goodness of God, who can say, you're going to get through this. I don't know how, but God is with you, and it's always better to be with God than anywhere without him. You know, I told you in 2021, my life got a little flipped upside down. Well, it's 2024 now. And I have to tell you that while that journey has been confusing at times and difficult at times, God is good. And I would rather be nowhere else than where I am right now. And as a sweet added bonus, he brought me home to you. And I'm so glad to be here. Let me pray for us. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would show up and show the way. There are so many things in our lives that feel uncertain, but we believe that you are the one true certain thing. So we ask that you would help us trust you. Help us remember who you are. Help us to just take a moment of stillness. And help us to walk forward in faith when you show the way. Keep us close to you and give us courage. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.